Hey, boys and girls. Welcome to the best podcast in the history of mankind. It's Monty's Rockcast. And now, here's your host, Monty Colvin.
Hey, hey, hey. Welcome to the Rockcast. I am your host, Monty Colvin.
What a weirdo.
I appreciate you joining me today, and I will be talking about music, pop culture, and randomly discussing anything that happens to pop into my head. But let's start out with some email, and you know, I haven't played the email theme song in a while, so let's hear it.
Time for listener email!
All right, and the first email today is... All right, okay, I will. And the first one comes from a Mr. William Butts. hey, his name is William Butts. And I don't need any of your smart aleck comments. I'm sure he had a hard enough time in high school. So just keep the jokes to yourself. Anyway, Mr. Butts says, "Hey, Monty. I've been a huge fan of Galactic Cowboys since the first album, and I'm thrilled you are reforming to put out new music. The best discovery was finding your podcast, which makes my day every time I listen. I wish it was weekly, but I'm sure you're busy. My question is, I was recently watching an old video from a Christian band named Rez Band, and they were playing a song on top of a building, and the bass player looked a lot like you, and the sound of his bass sounded like you. Was that you or your twin brother?" Well, that's a very cool email. I appreciate it. And William is a chaplain in the U.S. Navy. And to answer your question, William, no, it was not me. I was never in Rez Band, but I did meet the leader of their band, Glenn Kaiser, I believe was his name. Because back in the mid-80s, I was playing with this Christian artist named Morgan Cryer, and we played the Cornerstone Festival. And it was kind of a blast, even though we were playing this cheesy pop music. Because there was just a ton of people there. But even back then, I had this real grinding, high-end bass sound. And when I walked off stage, Glenn was standing there, and he's like, "Hey man, that's one of the best bass sounds I've heard." And I was like, "Oh, thank you so much." And he's like, "Well, you got some good things going on there. I'm just saying, keep it up." And I thought that was really nice of him, and I really appreciated it, because I was a young guy just starting out. And it really encouraged me. I only played with Morgan for about a year, but it was actually kind of a big break for me at the time. I got my foot in the door of a record label, and I met some great musicians, one of which was Alan Doss. And it just gave me a whole lot of experience. I mean, when I was doing that Christian circuit, you never knew where you were going to play. One night you might be in a big auditorium with thousands of people, and the next night you might be playing a little church. And depending on where we were, we might be playing for a bunch of kids that were completely digging it and rocking out. Or you might find yourself talking to some older, uptight grown-up after the show who wants to know, how can you justify playing this kind of music?
It's of the devil.
I've got a lot of stories to tell from my time that I spent in Christian music, but I'll probably save those for my book. The one that I still haven't finished. But for now, let's just move on to another email. And this one is from Kendall Kirsch, and he says, "Hi, Monty. I'm a longtime GC fan who just heard about Crunchy for the first time today, and I'd love to find out more. I've unfortunately become spoiled by Amazon and iTunes MP3 previews. So do you have a link I can visit so I can hear a few songs before I order the whole album?"
The answer is no.
Well, Kendall, you would think I would put something like that up on my website, but actually I haven't gotten around to it. And I really don't have a good excuse, so I'm sorry. However, I did make several low-budget videos, so if you want to go to YouTube, you can check those out, and you can at least kind of hear the songs.
Nobody's going to do that.
And since you brought up the topic of my crunchy CDs, let me say something right now. And this is going to sound really strange, but if you live outside of the U.S., please do not order my crunchy CDs.
What?
Now, let me explain. My CDs are priced at $15 a piece, but to mail a CD outside the U.S., it costs me about $14. Plus, I have to fill out a bunch of forms for customs and then go to the post office. And since I don't want to charge $30 for a CD, here's an option I have for you. If you live in Canada or Australia or Europe or Japan or anywhere like that, just email me and say, "Hey, Monty, I want one of your CDs." And then I will make the MP3s available to you to download. And then at that point, if you want to make a little donation to me, that'd be cool. I would appreciate it, but if not, I'll just give them to you. I know that probably sounds insane, but as it is, I'm not really making any money shipping stuff out of the States anyway.
What an incredibly lucrative thing it is.
All right, well, next email is from Jimmy G in Chicago. And on the last episode, I told you that Jimmy is such a great contributor to the Rockcast that I was going to give him his own segment. But what I didn't tell you is not only does he get his own segment, he gets his own theme song.
Wow.
Hit it.
He's from Chicago. He's a champion. He's got some questions for a top 10. Jimmy G.
Jimmy G.
Yes, he's from Chicago, he's a member of the Rockcast Listener Hall of Fame, and he's a former Top 10 champion. And not to be confused with Jimmy Jeff, Jimmy G is not a redneck, as far as I know. But he is a guy with a lot of great questions and top 10s, so let's get to it right now. And first up, Jimmy says, "Hey, Monty, I took your advice and started looking for concerts on YouTube. I've been watching Richie Kotzen and the Winery Dogs. Richie can play and sing. So, Monty, is Richie Kotzen rock or not?"
Here's the answer.
Well, yeah, Jimmy, Richie is a great guitar player, but not just that. He also plays with Mike Portnoy and Billy Sheehan. And you know those guys rock, so he must.
So that's your answer?
Jimmy also says, "Monty, rock or not, The Doors." Well, I'll give The Doors credit for being innovators, probably, and they had their own sound. And Jim Morrison is kind of an icon, but their music, frankly, puts me to sleep. I never really liked them, but I did like that movie, The Doors. And so the movie rocked, the band not.
Your logic is flawless.
Jimmy also wants my opinion on NXS, rock or not. You know, I'd have to say NXS was a good pop band, and I really liked that song they did, Don't Change. But they had too many clean guitars and too much saxophone, so not.
Not at all.
Next, he wants to know, do the Stones or Foreigner rock or not? Well, the Stones, definitely. I saw them a couple of years ago at Arrowhead Stadium, and I don't care if Mick Jagger is 102 now. He still rocks. He's in amazing shape. He runs around the stage like a maniac. And Ron Wood on guitar is the coolest. Now, how about Foreigner? Well, their first album rocked. And even later stuff like Jukebox Hero is cool. So I'm going to forgive them for some cheesy ballads and some horrible lyrics in Hot-Blooded and say they rock.
Really?
And finally, he wants to know about Bruce Springsteen or Hall & Oates. And this is tough because Springsteen, well, I'm not a big fan, but I did see him a long time ago and he did put on a great show. And so I will give him a reluctant yes. But Hall & Oates, yes, they're amazing pop songwriters. And I would say about 50% of their tunes I really like. But if you put out stuff like Man Eater and I Can't Go For That, No Can Do, well, I can't go for that. So No Can Do on the rockin'.
Oh, I see.
Now, as you know, I've said many times that you can send me as many top 10 lists as you want. And Jimmy G has taken me up on that. And this week, he has sent me a top 10 list of top 10 lists that he chose not to send me. You see, Jimmy says he knows my Rockcast is a happy, uplifting experience for the audience, and he doesn't want to bring anybody down with a downer list. So rather than send those lists, he just made a top 10 out of those lists.
Sheer genius.
So it starts out at number 10 with top 10 lists of rock stars that ended their careers early due to drugs and alcohol. Well, yeah, that would be depressing. But another one that would be kind of a bummer is at number 9, my top 10 list of rock stars that could have or should have ended their careers early due to drugs and alcohol, namely Anthony Kiedis of Red Hot Chili Peppers.
I think that is mean.
Number 8 is his list of top 10 rock stars that ended their careers at just the right time. Number 7 is top 10 rock stars that should have ended their careers decades ago, but continue publishing albums. Jimmy says an example of this would be the before-mentioned Rolling Stones. All right. Well, number 6 is top 10 list of rock stars that wrote a book about their experiences and life lessons, namely Vince Neil.
Perhaps.
Another list that Jimmy is not going to send to me is number 5, my top 10 list of young pop stars that really think they're special and different. This month, Ariana Grande.
Yeah.
Number 4 is his list of young pop stars that would never be anything except for the millions of dollars propping up their career. Justin Bieber.
Yeah.
Number 3 is a list of his top 10 aging rock stars that should just retire. I hope you're not talking about me, Jimmy.
Perhaps.
Number 2 is his list of top 10 political rock stars that should just shut up. And once again, I think he's talking about me.
Of course he is.
Regardless, at number 1 on lists that Jimmy is not going to send me, his top 10 list of celebrity rock stars that should just shut up. Well, good job, Jimmy. I would actually like to hear some of those lists. But a better idea would be just to make one big list. And you could call it Top 10 Celebrities and Rock Stars That Should Just Shut Up, Go Away, Retire, and Possibly Overdose on Drugs and Alcohol.
That sounds sick to me.
So keep that in mind, man. And thanks again. And this has been another segment of Jimmy G in Chicago.
He's from Chicago.
Jimmy G sounds sassy and sweet and cool.
Yeah, so that was Jimmy G in Chicago with a top 10 and some questions for me. But now I've got some questions for you, and maybe you can help me out with this. Because the other day, Lindsay and I were at the grocery store, and I'm just standing there, and I look over, and I see this guy, and he's just covered in tattoos, and he's pushing a shopping cart, and he's got 4 kids with him. And I'm going to guess their ages are between 2 and 5. And it's just him and these kids, and so my first question was, where's their mom? Did she just take off and leave him with all these kids? Or is she at home, God forbid, with another baby?
Please, God, no.
My next question was, how does this happen? Did you plan this? Are you just one of these people that thought, yeah, I want a bunch of kids? Or do you just not believe in birth control? I mean, I don't want to judge by appearances, but he didn't look particularly religious.
My God, they're on drugs!
But the kids are just running all over the place. They're picking up stuff off the shelves. They're screaming. And that brought me to my last question. How do you deal with that? How do you cope? I've got three kids that are ages 10 through 18, and if we take them to the store, I'm about ready to lose my mind. They'll be clinging on Lindsay's arms like she's taking them through a haunted house. They'll be like, can I get cookies? I need shampoo. Can I look at the toys? You owe me $10.
Serenity now!
But then I look over at this guy in the store with the tattoos and the four kids, and he just looks fine. So to each his own, I guess. Apparently, I'm just not a kid person.
No, you're not.
I'll tell you one thing, though. Here lately, I've really started to feel old for the first time in my life. I still try to think young, and I dress kind of young. And I even listen to a lot of young bands.
And they all suck.
As you know, I listen to a lot of this metalcore stuff that a lot of you guys hate. And for a long time, I'd looked for a podcast that talked about that kind of music. And then last week, I found this show on the iTunes store called Core Nation. And it's hosted by these two guys in Canada who sound like they're in their early 20s. And I've really enjoyed it because they talk about bands that I like Treyu, Killswitch Engage, Bring Me the Horizon. And they do CD reviews and just talk about all that stuff. And some of it's kind of hilarious because they actually give grades to the quality of the screaming. But after a couple of episodes, I just started feeling like I was an uninvited guest to a party. Because I thought I was a real fan of this kind of music, but they pretty much hate anything that I really like about it. And these dudes make me feel so old.
You are.
They've got this thing where they call anything that was recorded in the 80s or even 90s dad rock. For instance, AC/DC, dad rock. Something your dad would listen to. Black Sabbath, they would call that dad metal. And they really cracked me up this one show because one of them goes, yo, dude, it's like that dad rock band that has a drummer with no limbs. And the other guy's like, what are you talking about, eh? And he's like, you know, that dad rock band, Def Leppard. Their drummer doesn't have any arms or legs.
I think that is true.
So, yeah, at times they're pretty freaking clueless, but I still like the show. It's called Core Nation, so, you know, if you like that kind of stuff, check it out. But those guys do make me feel like an old man. And somebody else that makes me feel old is the radio announcer for the Kansas City Royals. And this guy's been on the air since I was in high school. And when he started out, he was real enthusiastic, and he'd be like, hey, everybody, welcome to the game. This is Denny Matthews. But as the years went by, he started slowing down, and anymore, he just acts like he could care less. For instance, a couple of weeks ago, the Royals were trailing in this game, and in the eighth inning, our catcher, Salvador Perez, came up, and he hit a grand slam. And we took the lead, and I just lost it. I mean, I was just going crazy, jumping around the room and screaming. But when Denny Matthews did the play-by-play for this, it went something like, and now Salvador Perez comes up, and there's a long fly ball, and it's gone. And so what I thought was one of the most exciting plays in Royals history, I guess it just apparently put the Royals announcer to sleep. But I kind of understand because I don't have as much energy as I used to have. And my wife Lindsay is a little bit younger than I am, and there are times when I have a hard time keeping up with her. Like the other day she comes in and says, hey, I thought tomorrow we'd take the kids to that amusement park, Worlds of Fun. And I said, well, okay, but first I want to know, what did I do to you that caused you to feel like you need to punish me? And she said, oh, no, nothing. I just thought we'd go and ride some roller coasters. And, well, somehow I agreed to this. And so we get out there about 1 in the afternoon. It's blazing hot. And she gets me on something called the Mamba. And they strap us in, and this thing starts climbing hundreds of feet into the air. And I know eventually it's going to reach the peak and then just drop us straight down. And on the way up, I turn to Lindsay and I just say, "Why do I do these things for you? I will never do this again." And she's just sitting there completely relaxed and she's like, "It's going to be fine." But I just got to be honest right now and let everyone know that when it comes to roller coasters and carnival rides like that, I'm kind of a puss.
Yeah, you are.
And when that thing finally took off into this 2-minute hell ride, I was in absolute agony.
You little wimp!
And I was letting out these guttural screams and moans that sounded like I was the lead singer for a death metal band. And when it finally came to a stop, I was just so relieved. And I don't know why I'm that way, but I was just absolutely terrified. But it is kind of embarrassing, especially when you're getting off the ride and the 10-year-old boy turns to mom and says, "Hey, can we ride it again?"
I mean, you're kind of a girly man.
I also feel old when I see certain shows on TV. For example, they're remaking a lot of the old game shows that used to be on in the 70s and 80s. Like that pyramid show that Dick Clark used to host, and the Gong Show. And does anybody remember the Battle of the Network Stars?
No!
Yeah, well, they remade that, and the new version that they made is really bad. But it's not nearly as terrible as the old one. And by terrible, I mean must-see TV. I mean, back in the day, you had Robert Conrad and people like Charo running obstacle courses. And they were all really serious about it. And then you had Howard Cosell as the host. And he'd be saying stuff like, "Look at little Ricky Schroeder. His feet can barely touch the pedals on that bicycle. It appears he will be of no challenge to the superior athletic ability of Scott Baio from Happy Days."
Who?
And it was just really bad TV, but we watched it because that's all that was on.
A pitiful thing indeed.
Another show that made me feel a little bit old was something called Sing for the Day, Tommy Shaw and the Contemporary Youth Orchestra. It was on the AXS network, and it was Tommy Shaw backed by a teenage orchestra playing Styx songs. And these kids were just unbelievable. They were just on there playing the hell out of these violins. And there was this one kid that looked like he was about 12 playing all the lead guitar solos just note for note. And he was, of course, Asian. Because, you know, instead of sitting in their rooms all day watching TV, Asians pick up a violin when they're about 3 and start practicing.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so these kids were just blowing my mind, but I knew good and well that none of them had ever heard of Styx before they started learning these songs.
Exactly.
And I don't think I've really ever talked that much about Styx on this show before, but in fact, I really used to like them a lot. They kind of lost me when they started doing all the Dennis DeYoung ballads like Babe and, you know, and then they got into the Mr. Roboto stuff. But I've always kind of liked Tommy Shaw, and there was a period where he actually did a solo thing. And I went and saw him play when he did that, and he was good. And he had a single out at the time called Girls with Guns. And yes, it was kind of 80s cheesy pop music, but I don't care. I still like it.
Don't need you. Thank you.
Another show I've been watching here lately is Big Brother. It's where they take about 16 normal people and stick them inside of a house without any contact with the outside world. And each week, one person gets evicted from the house until they narrow it down to one person who wins $500,000. Of course, after only about three episodes, I, as a viewer, grow to intensely hate each and every one of these people. But wait, before you just think I'm an intolerant bastard, the people inside the house actually hate each other too. And why wouldn't they? They all got on the show and were chosen based on some kind of stereotype. And year after year, the cast is always the same. You've got a black girl, a gay guy, a hot chick, a hunky guy. You usually get an old dude in his 50s, but he usually doesn't last long. They usually vote him out the first week. Because most of the people in the house are in their 20s, and they can't relate to anybody over 30 who has kids and a job. You also get the token Hispanic, and this season it was a big old dude, and he was crying by day two because he missed his family. However, don't feel too bad for him because he was comforted by the Asian chick and the token athletic girl with tattoos. Of course, you have to have a representative for all the rednecks in the world, so you get a guy that wears a cowboy hat 24/7.
Yep, okay.
They also always have to cast a punk alternative person with blue hair and see if they can get along or hook up with the hot blonde, hot redhead, or former Marine. Surprisingly enough, the punk rockers actually do pretty well some seasons. However, this year, she just started crying and walked out on her own accord on day two. Why? Because, well, there are many rules on Big Brother, including you cannot pull a knife on another house guest. But most importantly, and above all the other rules, you can never say anything politically incorrect or you will be ostracized. So whatever you do, do not nickname one of the Asians in the house Panda. Use the phrase, love you long time, or insinuate in any way that they might be able to do your nails. Because that will get you kicked out of the house, even if you were just joking.
Okay.
So that show's kind of a train wreck, but I got some really sad news the other day when somebody told me that the TV show Two Broke Girls had been canceled.
Oh!
Yeah, well, you can imagine my disappointment. I had actually started watching it quite a bit here lately because it was just so incredibly bad. And I would sit there in just utter amazement that this ever got on TV in the first place. And so I will really miss it, and I thought what I'd do is kind of pay tribute to one of the worst shows in the history of TV by playing you some highlights. So here now, kind of a best of, if you will, from Two Broke Girls. All right, so that's Two Broke Girls. Everything that ever came out of their mouths was a one-liner and just hysterical. And you know, I just wish I was that clever and funny. Well, you know, I guess I am once in a while. Seriously, though, can a guy get a laugh track around here? Thank you, thank you. All right, let's move on to something else. I've got an email here from Matt Core, and Matt says he always listens to the Rockcast the day it comes out. And he also says he's got three teenage boys, Blake, Shane, and Eric. And he says his youngest son, Eric, is really smart. He just completed the eighth grade, and all of his teachers keep telling him he could do anything he wants. But instead of wanting to be an engineer or a doctor, he wants to get a bass guitar and make his own music. And Matt was wondering if I could give him any advice on the best way to get started or the best guitar he could learn on. Well, it's funny you should ask, Matt, because my daughter Zoe was asking me the same thing the other day. And what I told her is that I would look for something that's affordable and good. But don't feel like you have to spend like $1,000 on a new guitar. I'd avoid total pieces of crap where the strings are way off the fretboard and really hard to play. But you can find some pretty decent guitars on eBay, Musician's Friend, places like that. And don't be afraid to start with an acoustic. I've seen some listed for around $100 that look like they would get you going. And I would also suggest lessons. But even if you happen to know somebody that plays, get them over to your house and let them teach you anything they will. I had a guy from my high school come over and show me one scale, and I ended up learning how to play leads from it. So anyway, that's my two cents on that.
And what the hell do you know, old man?
Matt also said that his oldest son, Blake, isn't that into hard rock and metal, but his favorite band is Protocaw, which, if you don't know, is a prog band that predated Kansas, which is fronted by Carrie Livgren. And since we're getting to know Matt's entire family, he says his middle son, Shane, is a big fan of Demon Hunter and wonders if I could review their latest album, Outlive. Well, sure, okay, I have reviewed Demon Hunter in the past, so let me tell you what I think of this one.
We can't wait.
I think most of you probably know that I think they're kind of a Christian band. Or at least they're Christians, because some of the lyrics are about Jesus and spiritual things. And to me, they're kind of diverse. Some of their songs will be a little heavier, like Killswitch Engage or something. And then other tunes are a little more commercial rock sounding to me. And when they do that with the melodic vocals and sometimes harmonies, they remind me of this band called Cold that I used to really like. And they've also kind of got a Breaking Benjamin vibe. So I'm going to say you're going to like this, Shane. It's good melodic metal and probably right up your alley. So that was a CD review of the new Demon Hunter album. But now I'm not only going to review the Iron Maiden concert in Kansas City, but I'm also going to start with right now a review of the new Spider-Man movie. And let me just say, I rarely go to movies because the tickets are expensive and the concessions are outrageous. And I'm not a big fan of action movies. They usually put me to sleep. But we went to see the new Spider-Man, and I gotta say, I was pleasantly surprised. The story was pretty good. They made Spider-Man a lot younger. He's like 15 and in high school. And it gave it kind of a human element that kept me interested. Naturally, it had a lot of special effects and all that kind of stuff that normally I could care less about. But overall, I really enjoyed it.
Oh, good.
However, as you might expect, there were just a few things that kind of bugged me.
Here we go.
First of all, the villain in the movie is Michael Keaton. And the guy is always great in everything he does, but as a villain, I almost found him too likable. I want to hate the villains in the movies I watch, but, you know, I'm sitting there going, I love Michael Keaton. I really hope he doesn't die. So it wasn't a big criticism, but I did have a little bit of a problem with that. But the thing that bugged me the most about this movie was the Hollywood obsession with diversity.
What?
You see, you gotta understand that when all these superheroes were created by Marvel, it was a long time ago. And just about all of them were white. But if these same characters were created today, well, Superman would probably be black, Batman would be Hispanic, and Captain America would be gay. And since there's such a long history of the superheroes being Caucasian, Hollywood's like, well, maybe we better not tinker with that. But let's make sure that everyone else who is cast in this movie represents all races, colors, and creeds equally. And in the Spider-Man movie, it didn't matter if you could act or not. If you were ethnic looking, you got the part. And don't get me wrong, I'm happy that there's more opportunities for Indian people. But you're telling me the high school that Spider-Man goes to only has two white kids in it?
I think so.
Well, that's when it just becomes blatantly obvious that there's an agenda going on, and it's just annoying. I mean, I wouldn't have cared if the entire cast would have been black, or Hispanic, or whatever. It just sickens me that Hollywood thinks everything has to be diverse and equal for everyone.
It just makes me feel so much better.
But it's the same with everything on TV. You can't just be entertained anymore. Everything has an agenda, and you've got to hear a message. If you're watching Survivor with your family, well, your 10-year-old needs to know about transgenders.
Well, yeah.
And if it's a talent show, well, it's fine if you're a good singer. But if for some reason you were also bullied in high school, you're going to the finals.
Absolutely.
So I'm sick of Hollywood and all their political correctness. And to be honest, I'd rather just go to a concert. And fortunately, my wife is a rocker, and we go to all kinds of shows. Sometimes there's bands that she wants to see, and other times there's bands that I want to see. And as with any marriage, there's always a little give and take. For instance, I will agree to go with her to see Tool and not fall asleep if she will agree to go with me to see Iron Maiden and not spend the whole time on her phone looking at Facebook.
I think that is fair.
So about 6 months ago, my friend Matt Krogmeyer in KC said, hey man, Iron Maiden and Ghost are coming to Kansas City. We should take our wives. And I said, that sounds awesome. So we got tickets and then we waited. And we waited. And in the meantime, I'd heard some things about this tour. And I finally did something that I don't usually do. Which is, I went on the internet and I looked at the set list. And the thing you gotta know about Maiden is that from tour to tour, you never know what you're gonna get. Like the last time I saw them, they did all the hits, Run to the Hills, and all this great stuff, and it was amazing. But if they've got a new album out, prepare yourself, because that's mostly what you're gonna hear. And so before I even walked into the arena, I was like, well, they're not probably going to play a lot of stuff I want to hear, but, you know, it is Maiden, and I'm sure it'll be great. But, of course, we got there early to see the opening act because Maiden always has great openers. I've seen him with Anthrax and Megadeth, and so this time it was no different. It was Ghost. And if you guys still aren't into Ghost, you still don't know what you're missing. They wear the costumes, and yeah, it's kind of a gimmick, but it's a great gimmick. And they played the songs I wanted to hear, and they were just excellent. And from here on out, I will go to see Ghost anytime they come near me. I just love that band.
What type of satanic, whacked out crap is that?
Now, this concert was at the Sprint Center in Kansas City, and I've been to lots of shows there before, but this is the middle of July in Missouri, and it's really freaking hot. And I don't know if they didn't have the air conditioning on in there, but it was just an oven. And so after Ghost was done, we just went up to the corridor where it was a little bit cooler. And while we were out there, I was looking at the crowd, and I'm always amazed when I'm at an Iron Maiden show, because as you would expect, their audience is a little older, but they get a lot of younger people too. But the thing that's crazy about them is that every single person in that whole arena has an Iron Maiden t-shirt on. Including me, because let's face it, Iron Maiden has some of the coolest shirts ever. And by the way, I've heard some people say, yeah, you shouldn't be able to wear a band's t-shirt unless you know their whole catalog. To which I say, yeah, wrong. If you like a band for whatever reason, you're fine to go ahead and wear their shirts and support them. And if you don't know every single song that they've ever done, it doesn't make you any less of a fan. I mean, yeah, it bugs me a little bit when I see people like Miley Cyrus wearing them. But then again, you know, I can't blame her.
She's sick in the head is what she really is.
While I was out in the hallway, I went over to the concession stands and got a soda. And it's an arena. They know you're thirsty and you can't leave and you can't do anything about it. So they just gouge you. But they were nice enough to set me up with a payment plan. So I'll be making monthly installment payments for about the next year, but the good thing is it's interest-free.
I think you're making this up.
You know, as long as I'm talking about soda, have you ever noticed that depending on where you get it, the price is always drastically different? It's like if you go to a convenience store and get a 32-ouncer, it's somewhere around 99 cents. If you're at an arena or a stadium, it's about $9.
Outrageous!
If you buy a can or a bottle out of a machine, it's about a buck and a half. If you go to somewhere like Walmart, you can buy a 12-pack for $3. If you order a soda at a restaurant, it's usually around $2.50. But if you order that same drink at McDonald's with a combo meal, they'll throw it in for free.
Yay!
Anyway, all that to say, I bought a soda and then we went back in to see Iron Maiden.
Get it over with!
I knew Maiden would put on a great show because they always do. These are dudes in their 60s that still kick ass like they're 18. They run and jump and leap all over the stage and never miss a note, and they are truly an inspiration. However, the set list was indeed a lot of new stuff with some obscure stuff thrown in. They did do The Trooper, Power Slave, and Wasted Years, and all that was really cool. But honestly, I could have done without Children of the Damned or Blood Brothers. I personally would have rather heard something off Seventh Son, which they didn't do anything from. But overall, it was still very entertaining. You got some fire. Eddie came out for a while in one song. You got some cool stage props. But I don't know, you know, maybe it was the heat or the extremely long new songs that seemed kind of drawn out. But the crowd just didn't seem as into it. So I'm sorry to say, but I'm only going to be able to give this concert 3.5, maybe 4 Bloody Metal Skulls. I was a little disappointed in Maiden as far as their set list, but Ghost kind of made up for it. So 3.5 out of a possible 5 Bloody Metal Skulls, not terrible, but not totally great.
They're a bunch of devil-worshipping crap.
Before I go, I wanted to mention that the new Galactic Cowboys album is still on schedule for a fall release.
Whoop-dee-doo!
There's a whole lot that goes into the marketing and packaging and everything it has to have before it hits the streets. And here lately, I've been working with the art director on the CD booklet, and it looks like it's coming together nicely. You're not only going to be able to get it on CD, but the label's planning on making vinyl. Or if you'd rather download it, you'll be able to find it on iTunes. And speaking of iTunes, do me a favor, if you will, and go to the iTunes store, look up Monty's Rockcast, and give my show a positive review. Apparently that kind of stuff really helps to promote the show, and it comes up a little more often on the iTunes store. So if you haven't done that already, I'd really appreciate it. You can also show your support for the Rockcast by going to my website, montycalvin.net, and buying yourself a Rockcast t-shirt. And for a limited time, if you order a Rockcast t-shirt, I'll throw in a crunchy CD for free. It's kind of like getting a combo meal at Burger King.
That sounds delish.
I'm going to end the show with a song off an album from 1993. The band was called Damn the Machine, and it featured former Megadeth guitarist Chris Poland. They only did the one album, but God, was it good. So I hope you like it. Let me know what you think. But that's going to do it for me for now. I'll be back soon with more fun and mayhem. But until then, this has been Monty saying take care. Don't let anyone tell you what to like, unless it's me. And
rock on.
End.